I have been going through a series called Hearing the Heart of Christ and preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And I remember thinking when I first started this series, boy, this is going to take a long time, thinking of all the different areas that we would be covering, what we'd be going through. And I remember thinking when I first started, boy, there's a lot of difficult topics that we're going to have to go through. A lot of topics that might be hard to hear. And here we are today. This is the last sermon in the series. So we are almost done with the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at a number of those topics that we looked at were, you know, the Beatitudes, those who are blessed. We saw that we are the salt and the light because of who Christ is. We saw a number of those, you've heard it said, but I tell you statements that looked at anger, lust, divorce, keeping your word, retaliation, loving enemies, being generous, prayer and fasting, what we treasure, looked at worry, we looked at judgment, the golden rule, being on the lookout, quite a variety of things that we've looked at. Last week we saw that we really need to know Christ and be known by Him and living a submitted life to Jesus, who is Lord and Savior. And we looked at what does Lord really mean. And a difficult verse that we looked at last week was Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21 was a difficult verse, and it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's a powerful verse. And it's one that we really need to take to heart when we're looking through the Bible, when we're looking at His Word. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Part of living a fully submitted life to Christ involves obedience. Being submitted to Jesus, it involves being obedient. And we have looked at many of the teachings of Jesus and got a glimpse of His will in the Sermon on the Mount. Some of those things that are very difficult, you'll need to be intentional and work at obedience. It's not just going to happen. We have to be intentional. We have to work at it. You might call Jesus Lord, but if you're living in disobedience to Him, or living in disobedience to God the Father, is Jesus really your Lord? And that's a question we need to ask. If we're living in disobedience, is Jesus really my Lord? Are you living for Him or just play acting for whatever reason it may be? So walking in stride with Christ is walking in obedience to Him. And now we already established that none of us are perfect. We know that. None of us are perfect. None of us has everything figured out or everything together. But the direction we should be, you know, when we have those moments where we make mistakes, those moments where we sin, when we mess up, we need to seek forgiveness. Repent, that's to turn away from it, and keep going in the direction of Christ. Keep moving in our service of the Lord. But an ongoing rebellion against Christ and His will is a dangerous place to be. It is. So Jesus has given us plenty to think about in just the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, I was thinking the other day, I probably could re-preach this entire message series word for word, each message, I could re-preach this entire thing again, and we would again gain a lot. why is that? Because the Sermon on the Mount is something that Jesus is sharing. He's sharing his heart with us. He's giving us important things that we need to take in, that we need to hear, and we need to live out. We need to hear this, but not just hear it, but we need to put it into practice. It's easy to hear something wonderful from our Lord, and I know there's a lot of times we hear something great and we're like, wow, that was great. And then an hour or two later, you're like, what was that great thing that was so good? I don't remember. It happens. So when we hear something, it's moving it from just hearing it, moving it into practice. We can't have that disconnect between hearing and doing. James 1:22 gives this statement here. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. And there are deceptions out there that we know what we should be doing, but because of one excuse or another, we fail to put it into practice. Everything Jesus has given us in this sermon needs to not only be taken to heart, but it needs to be put into practice. Don't believe the deception that you are the exception to the rule. There's a lot of people who think, yeah, well, that's for someone else. I'm an exception. Everything in that Sermon on the Mount is for all of us. We obey because we know Jesus is the Son of God. He is our Lord, and He came to bring us salvation. We obey out of love and out of devotion to Jesus. We obey out of love and devotion. But it's interesting, Jesus concludes His Sermon on the Mount with some final words. And these final words come in the form of a parable. So as we look at all of what Jesus has shared in the Sermon on the Mount, here's what He concludes this sermon with, and it's the parable. And let's read it out of Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. I love Jesus. He concludes his sermon with this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Obviously, those who weren't present at that Sermon on the Mount couldn't hear it. They weren't there. But what about the people who were there? Why would Jesus say this? If you hear these words and put them into practice, maybe He knew that they would be written down for us later on to hear. Maybe it was going to be shared with others. We're meant to read it. We're meant to read the Sermon on the Mount. We're not just meant to hear it and think it's great, but we're also to read it and put it into practice. But I think there's something a little more to that. What about those who were there, who Jesus is saying, those who hear these words? And I think there's something to that. Were they really hearing? Were they really listening? When we went through this, were you hearing the messages? Were you hearing the words that Jesus gave? You see, many of you here have been with me through this series since I started it. Maybe you might have missed one or two, Some of you may have not missed any of the messages. But it's interesting, even just in church in general, do you come ready to hear? Maybe for some people who are struggling in some of the areas Jesus discussed, maybe it would be hard to hear because you don't want to hear the truth. Maybe it's a struggle to listen to the truth, to really hear it. I wonder how many times do we do things out of a traditional sense. So maybe we come to the service and we come to listen to the preaching and to sing, and we just come to church out of this is what we normally do. This is our routine. Maybe it's devotions. Maybe I'm reading my devotions or reading my Bible, and I just do them out of a sense of, okay, I have accomplished this to-do list, and now on with the rest of my day, and not really coming with a heart, Lord, help me to hear from you in this moment. Help me to hear what you're saying, even if it's difficult. Help me to hear it, and give me the strength to put it into practice. See, putting into practice can be very difficult itself. For those who significantly struggle with a sin, even though they would like to be free from it, they know the struggle is real and temptation seems to be almost overwhelming. But Jesus has been very clear. There is a lot we have at our disposal, at our aid, when it comes to temptation. We're given a promise that we will never be tempted beyond what we can handle. But what do we have? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have the armor of God. We have authority to say no to the devil, and we're told that he will flee. I have the authority when temptation comes, I can say no, devil. I am not going to partake in that. And we're told the devil will flee. Doesn't mean he isn't going to make a return trip to see if you change your mind. But we have the authority to say no. That is enough. But oftentimes we want everything done for us with zero work, zero effort on our part. And that isn't the case. We have to do what we know is right. We have to work and put in effort, and sometimes a lot of effort. When we hear Christ's words and we put them into practice, then we are like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Well, where is that? What does that mean? Well, there are many, many here who are carpenters or even have a good understanding of carpentry. I kind of watched when the guys were laying the cement, getting things ready for the elevator project out there, and the amount of work it took just to set forms and things before they even put concrete in there. But a foundation is very important. It's critical. During the construction phase, if the foundation is off by a little bit, let's say 3/4 an inch out of square, and let's say maybe it's off by a half inch out of level. It's 3/4 of an inch and a half inch. Doesn't seem like that much. But as a builder continues construction, everything is then off. A multi-level building will be significantly off the further the one builds up. And if we fail to put God's words into practice, maybe only a few of them, it may seem like, well, what's the harm? It's only a little bit here. It's only a little bit of sin here. Yes, I know Jesus told me I need to do this, but you know what? It's just a little bit. It's not going to be an issue. It's not a lot. We make excuses. It's not a big deal. But that little issue, as time goes on and life goes on, that little issue can turn into a big issue. Another area of foundation that's impacted, or another area that the foundation impacts, is durability. a weakness in the foundation will lead to weakness in the building. You see, all the weight of the structure or the building, it rests on the foundation. So the structure is only as strong as the foundation. The best of buildings will only be as strong as the foundation it was put on. The strength of the building to weather through storms will be affected by its foundation. The ability to weather storms and the safety of those inside can be attributed to the foundation. Think about your ability to weather storms in life. I think we've all had storms in our life. Some of them pretty bad. How well do we weather things that come into our life that may be not in our control? How many times are we impacted by other people's decisions, or things happen that we don't understand, but it's really affecting our lives? How do we weather through those storms in life? And I can tell you, if Jesus is our foundation, we will weather through them. We will make it through them. If we hear His words, though, if we hear the Lord's words and we fail to put them into practice, then we have weaknesses in our foundation. We will have weaknesses that will be more apparent when the storms of life come. And Jesus is showing us in this story that He likens His message. He likens that Sermon on the Mount similar to that of a good foundation. So when I said I could re-preach this Sermon on the Mount series word for word, it is building a foundation in which we are living on. And I know I already summarized the topics, but I really wanted to share again that, okay, the Sermon on the Mount, it has a lot of different topics, but it's about life. They're vast and variable topics. Being the salt and the light. The Beatitudes, who is blessed. Jesus fulfilling the law. Anger and murder. Lust and adultery. Divorce and remarriage. Taking oaths. Revenge. Loving enemies. Giving to the needy. How to pray and fast. Storing up treasures in heaven. Not worrying. Not being judgmental or hypocritical, seeing the kingdom of heaven as a narrow gate, watching out for false prophets, and knowing Christ. All parts of this sermon. Whoever hears these words and puts them into practice has built on a strong foundation. But whoever hears these words but does not put them into practice, we're told they're like a fool. And they've built on a poor foundation that will ultimately fall with a great crash. That's the end of the Sermon on the Mount, a great crash. We all want to hear the encouraging words. We want to leave on a really good note, not a crashing note. But this is what and how Jesus taught. We know Christ loves us. We're told that clearly. Jesus also showed us how much He loved us. He paid our penalty for sin. Yet we are all left with a choice in that we have free will, and free will to make the choice, do I hear this, listen, and obey, or do I make the choice to tune out, disengage, and disobey? We're given that choice. And Jesus is showing us here, what are the consequences of each? If I hear, listen, and obey, I'm told that this is building on a good foundation. If I choose to not listen, disengage, and disobey, then I'm like a fool who will come with an end result of a great crash. In this parable, Jesus makes a clear line between a good foundation and a poor one. To follow his teachings, to follow Jesus, is the good foundation. To go our own way, to take that wide road, was definitely a poor foundation. But there are other poor foundations too. And I think another poor foundation is one that might be based on to be deceived. We're told to look out for those false prophets. If we take in these false teachings, these teachings that don't come from Christ or conflict with Christ, again, that's really, you got the hearing, listening, and obeying. We're being deceived. It's a poor foundation. I think if we put all our faith in a church or in a pastor, that could easily be a poor foundation too. I've heard many people tell me, or several people tell me, that they were hurt in church, and for that reason, they quit everything. They quit meeting together. And so then, when that happens, I have to ask the question, was the foundation really in Christ, or was the foundation in someone or a church instead? Maybe even a denomination. Don't get me wrong, I'm not attacking church or pastors or denominations, but if our foundation on which we are building our faith is based on a person or institution, it will collapse at some point because people are still imperfect. The religious elite, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, they all believed that their understanding of the law was in no way in any error. They thought they had everything perfectly figured out. Keeping the Sabbath, one commandment, keeping the Sabbath led to hundreds, if not thousands, of rules and regulations and how to keep that Sabbath. Jesus knew that if your faith is based on a bunch of do's and don'ts, you will come crashing down. If your faith is based on a person you highly respect and they fall, you will come crashing down with them. May I remind you again, all humanity is fallen except for Jesus. But if your faith is based on the Son of God, who is perfect and without sin and gave the example of how to live and be in a relationship with God the Father, that will last. That love of the Father and Son will never fail, and His words will never pass away. You have the Bible available to you. If you don't, come and see me. I'll give you one. You have a Bible available to you. The words in the Bible are the Lord's words, given for us to read and hear. They are His revelation to us that we have so that our foundation is stronger than anything we could fathom. Now, we will be tempted to take the easy route instead of the harder one. We often like to see results right away. We want to do the job and get it done quickly because we are often busy or have a list of other things to do. Making Christ our foundation may require us to take time and to work and take time and work in order to hear what He says and to put it into practice. Reading the Bible, taking time to study and research things, investing a daily devotional time, even memorizing Scripture, just spending some alone time in prayer with the Lord, it takes time. But it is building and preparing the foundation. Putting into practice what we hear will take effort and sacrifice. Now, I've been reading the Sermon on the Mount through Matthew, but Luke has Luke's account is very, very similar, but there is one difference in this particular parable in Luke. And I'll just read the first couple verses here. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. That part I underlined, dug down, dug deep down and laid the foundation on the rock. The easy way to be simply just start building on the site where you want the house. The difficult way is after finding the building site to dig down, to dig deep, to find that rock that'll be the foundation. The topsoil or sand will change with weather and other factors, but the rock is what has stood the test of time and remained constant. You see, our temptation might be to just kind of pick and choose what we want to follow from Jesus' teaching. It might be easy to hear something and ignore it. It might even be easy to just do what someone else has said. It might be easy to not repent but keep some pet sins. But that foundation will not hold. Taking the time to listen and hear the words of Jesus, put them into practice so that your foundation will be solid. I wanted to read another section of scripture found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3:10, if you'd like to turn there. Otherwise, you can read up here. 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He saw Jesus in person on his way to Damascus, and his life was forever changed. The Apostle Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament, and he started many churches. All that he did was to begin building foundations by sharing Jesus Christ with them, to teach and disciple and help others to not only have that foundation in Christ, but they can carry on and share that with others so that their foundation would be in Christ. Let us take the foundation we have in Christ and begin building so others may come and receive that same foundation. I'll tell you, there's enough foundation from Jesus for everyone to build on. He's enough. Without Christ, there's no life, there's no hope, there's no future, there's no security. With Him, we have all of that. With Christ, we have life, we have hope, we have a future, and we have security.